This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And good evening and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and you're about to listen to The Essentials, The Reset. As usual, we're going to have ourselves a very, very interesting show. We always do. It's all sometimes provocative, informative. This evening, I anticipate that this is going to be inspirational. We want you to join in on the conversation if you so desire. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line is 4224796. If you have a question or you have a comment, just keep it short and pithy, and we certainly will get to that. We have in the studio this evening a young man who I have a lot of admiration for and great respect. Sometimes you don't deserve it, but I still give it to him. I met him in recent times, being a part of the Eugene Dupuis Law School. He's also a law student, a young man. But oftentimes you come across a crowd. And in that crowd, somebody stands out for reasons which you readily identify. And one of the main reasons this young man stood out to me is his background. He has a very interesting background, and one which I believe holds some parallel to mine in some way. And I think that was kind of like the start of my curiosity, if you will, as to, you know, who this guy is. And then just watching him over time, over the year, a couple of years, we've been in tutorial classes for two consecutive years. Mm-hmm. And just watching him and understanding him and seeing him deal with issues and, you know, ups and downs and, you know, having conversation, I draw the conclusion that, you know, here is the embodiment of a warrior. A young warrior, fighting to find his place in life, fighting to find his space, fighting to become a better human being, fighting to represent the best of us. And you then get an appreciation that this fight has been a long while coming. It's not, a flash in the pan. It's not an easy, done and over sort of a thing. And one also suspect that the fight is going to be a little while longer, yeah?
Yes, sir, for sure.
But one also goes away, or at least can embrace the confidence in watching that, you know, some warriors fight and die. Others die and rise again to fight another day. And I suspect, and you can help me confirm or otherwise this evening when you hear him, I suspect this is one individual who is willing to die 1,000 deaths and keep rising and moving forward. I have in studio Ercude Estime, a young man, like I say, a young warrior, and an individual who has agreed this evening to share his life story, to share his inspirations, to share his fears, to share his aspiration, to tell whatsoever it is that he feels is reasonable to share with you. And we believe that in this sharing, there is going to be good nuggets that you can take away from. They're going to be inspirational moments. I believe that this is a moment, especially if you're a parent and you have a young son, to grab him, bring him close to the radio. Let's have a sat by the fireside, so to speak, and let's have a discussion. Because when we come back from this very quick break, we're going to discuss humble beginnings, infinite possibilities. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. Don't move. Come right back.
On the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The journey is such that you just can't get weary. You have to keep moving on. Hercule Estime, welcome to The Essentials.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to give you your flowers because you've certainly been an inspiration to me, you know, just to keep pushing, you know, and to keep learning. So I'd like to thank you for that and for granting me this opportunity today.
Yeah, flattery will get you everywhere.
I have to give you your flowers, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you know, let's talk about you, because that's what it's about, right?
I've
lost my ability to inspire anybody. So we want to turn to you. Who is our cute estimate?
Well, come from very humble beginnings, you know. I was born to Haitian parents, that being Mary Jose Estime and Hercule Vendul. Funny story, my auntie always tell me that I wasn't born in the hospital. She said that I was born actually inside her bedroom. So I could only imagine. And my dad tells me the story of wanting to name me a junior. His name is Hercule Vendul. So, but I have a problem with that. And I'm happy because almost every social setting that I go into, you know, my name is mispronounced or my friends make fun of it. So, and just jokingly, I tell my dad, you know, I thank the Lord that I'm not a junior, because I could only imagine what that name would have brought me.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of my dad and proud of my family, you know, my Haitian background. I'm also want to clear the air that I'm proud of my Bahamian background as well, you know, because even though I was born a Haitian, I was bred and I can dad a Bahamian, as they say. So certainly. So yes, sir. I grew up in Bacardi. The Haitian village in Bacardi, you know, just humble beginnings, you know. It was a simple lifestyle, you know. Simple lifestyle. We didn't have much, but we made the most of what we had.
Mm-hmm.
The village, when I always go back there, you know, it always feels like home. Mm. Even though the people doesn't have much, it always feels like home. I could always go there, you know. I could go there and fall asleep, you know. Mm. Fall asleep with my daddy, you know. Being at this age, you know. I remember when my brother first connected with me back with my daddy. It was certainly an exciting period in my life because you say
connected back with you.
Was there
a break someplace?
Yes, because early on when I used to live with my mommy, normally I would go with my father. People would tell me stories that I would always want to spend time with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I had glimpses of him. I know he had a bed and stuff like that. So that's all I knew of him. And then our first house had burned down in Bacardi Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it had burned down. So people had came together, rallied behind our mom, you know, and helped her find a place further up the road. So, and when she had died, I believe, that same year.
So your mom died?
Yeah, she died at when I was at the age of 5.
Oh, wow.
So, and at the same time, my father was unfortunately deported back to Haiti at the same time. So that was an unfortunate situation. And then me and my brother, we had ended up with family.
So at age 5, you had no mother. Your mother passed.
No mother.
And your father was deported.
Yes, sir.
And so you were pretty much on your own,
We ended up with our uncle. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the best situation because he was very abusive. I know. You spare the rod, you spoil a child, but sometimes adults can overdo it. And he certainly did overdo it because social service had to intervene. I clearly remember the day when they came and they picked me up from Adelaide Primary, you know. I was on the playing ground and they told me, you know, we're going for Daiquiri. So, but I was just yearning for that love and they had that love that day. So we was able to go with them, and then me and my brother, we had ended up in the Nature Center for children.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we ended up back out the homes, and that was in the best situation.
When you say you end up back out the homes, so you spent some time at Nazareth.
Yes, sir. Spent some time in Nazareth.
So what happened? Was there a development? Did
family
turn up? What?
Yes, some individuals that knew my mother,
mm-hmm.
They turn up. It was a good situation at first, but became very abusive on the male part because he had a habit, we used to get beaten with anything. So
wow.
Go to school all mark up. I still remember one time when we went to school and he intentionally did it. I mean, me and my brother were in Saints, you know, as all children, you know, sometimes we tend to arc up. But I remember him getting the cutter that you cut your hair with, and he just gabbed our head up. So it was like no shape up.
Right.
We had patches in our head, you know. So we had to go to school like that, you know. All the children was teasing me and my brother, you know.
Wow.
And then it was like constant. So the teachers allow us to wear hats.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully for that, but it wasn't It wasn't a loving environment, and certainly my grades suffer. You know, I suffer. You know, I fell into. It was scary to go home every day because I know once I went home every day, I would have got a beating just for any little thing.
Just for coming home.
Yeah, just for coming home.
Wow.
You know, normally my brother, you know, I so love him no matter his mistakes that he's so far made in this life, because he would always protect me. You know, I don't want to get too emotional with that. But he would normally shield me when we was getting beaten. So
he's the elder one?
Yeah, he's the elder one. So he would normally shield me, you know. We would get beaten with anything, but he would normally shield me. He would take the brunt of it. So I could never turn my back on him, because we being through it all, and he's being by my side so far, you know.
So your early years was one of tragedy.
Yes,
so to certainly. Speak. Your mom died.
Yes, sir.
Your father is deported.
Yes, sir.
And gone. Did he ever come back?
Yes, he came back.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
So when he came back, he came back and I didn't know he was back. Mm-hmm. So after I came out to Holmes, because normally my brother would frequent the area of Bacardi's, because he still remember most of the people.
Because
people would come up to me and say, "You remember me? I still remember you and your mommy when y'all used to be walking on the road."
Right.
I don't remember. I was like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother, he remembers most people, and he introduces me back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to get back in contact with my father, and that's how I was able to get back in contact with him. So
yeah. So you went through this essentially abusive, well, a couple of abusive scenarios. So
yes, sir.
First was... mom died, father gone, you're now with family.
Yes, sir.
And that didn't work out too good.
No,
you move into this home, spend a little time. So that first move into the home, I mean, how was that? What did that do for you? What was your experience? Was this a better vibe or...
So certainly, I could tell you the years that I spent out at the homes compared to the years that I spent in the homes, it was certainly better. My performance in school, the child I was much happier. No, because that loving environment was there. Even though those individuals weren't blood family, they still provided that level of care and that level of love and nurturing that a child needs. So I was able to, you know, just be a child. You know, just be a child and just not have the worry.
Okay. So, in those moments, and you know, we'll move this forward a bit in a bit, but in those moments when you were dealing with the abuse, especially with the uncle, right? In the second instance, you know,
that's the first instance. That's all.
Yeah. How the one who cut your ear in patches, right?
No, that's the
second one.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Yeah, no. So yeah, the second one seemed to be, you know, where stuff got a little bit more egregious, right?
I think the uncle, he was very egregious too.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I didn't know how to say my ABCs properly.
Mm.
So, because I always had like a strong accent, so I when I get the L M N, I would always mix it up, so I'd speed it up. And I remember him standing me in front of the whole village. He stripped me naked in front of the whole village. And he had a switch. You know, he had a wire, because he used to beat us with a wire.
Mm.
He had a wire. And he made me stand up there and say it. And no matter how much times I get it wrong, he would lick me, say it again, you know.
Mm.
Just, you know, embarrass me in front of the whole neighborhood. But it wasn't all bad, because being with him, that's where my love for wrestling came from. So, because I remember every Friday he would hook up the generator and he would put on wrestling, and everybody in the village would gather around and we would watch wrestling. So
you found a little bit of solace
in it.
But what did that kind of abuse do to you? Did it impact your confidence? Did it impact your, you said it impacted your performance in school, but what did it do for you? To what extent, looking back, did you think there was a setback?
Up to this day, it's hard to trust people.
Wow.
Because up to this day, it's hard to trust people. I mean, even though I'm a very outgoing person and social person, I tend to analyze everything because of that. Mm-hmm. So even though I may be talking to you, I'm still analyzing you because it was because of that situation now I don't trust. Because when we first got there, it was almost like somewhat of a loving relationship.
It started like that.
And then it changed with like in a blink of an eye, you know, and it turned really abusive. So it's really hard to trust people now. So
wow. So now you are, you know, you're a youngster. You moved into, you're growing older, and you moved from one foster home to the next. So where did you go next?
Okay, so after I end up back in homes, because I was at Charo Cash Primary. Mm-hmm. So after I end up, after I was at Charo Cash Primary, we end up back in homes. So I had went to Children's Emergency Hostel, and my brother had went to Elizabeth Estate Children's Home. So I had finished my grade 6 year at Carmichael Primary, and during that time, I was in the Children's Emergency Hostel.
Okay.
And after I graduated Carmichael Primary, I ended up inside the Ranfurly Homes for Children.
Okay. And that's where you stayed?
That's where I stayed for the completion of my high school years.
Until you were, until you got to 18 or something?
Yeah, until I got to 18, yes, sir.
Yeah, so you spent time in this institution, and you indicated that it provided you with a loving environment, and that's a huge plus.
Yes, sir.
Kudos out to the persons who run these organizations. We know some of them. Certainly, you know, it's heartwarming to see an individual who come out of the belly, because you've been to multiple.
Yes, sir.
And to be able to, you know, kind of testify that, yes,
yeah,
there is the possibility of, you know, finding love and affection and warmth in this, because not everybody does. Some persons may have different experience.
Yes, sir.
But as you transition from these homes into what we are going to refer to as real life, because you no longer have the protection of the persons in the home, the persons who take care of you, you're effectively, it's like leaving your parents' home.
Yeah.
You're no longer in the children's home. Where are you now?
I'm being provided. I'm on my own right now. So.
No. When you left there.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Where did you go?
Where did I go?
Yeah.
Oh, so the homes, they don't just put you out on the streets, because you know normally sometimes
we know that
there's that disconnect between most individuals in the home and their family. So I went with Kevin Johnson. He's the basketball coach of C.I. Gibson.
Okay.
So he provided a space for a few of us to go and live with him for a few years until we were able to get off on our feet. So
KJ.
Yeah.
Big up to KJ.
Yeah, sir.
You know, it's amazing sometimes you have to hear the story to know some things, right?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, there are individuals in this country who do great work.
Great work.
Kevin Johnson.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know him that well, but peripherally.
He's helped a lot of young men.
He does a lot for young people.
Yes.
And oftentimes, these individuals are unsung heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should always, when we get to this point, we should always, you know, pause and say, hey, KJ, you know, take a bow, because you have done well. You have impacted individuals. And I don't know the other people,
you know,
but if you, Hercule, provide a reasonable reference point, some good work has been done.
Yes, sir.
Some good work has been done. So now you're with KJ. Tell us what that experience is like.
It was a good experience, you know, because I'm a huge basketball fan. Mm-hmm. So my love for basketball actually came from when I first went into Ranfurly, because we had a basketball culture there. So. Mm-hmm. So I remember vividly one day just being embarrassed on the court and just wanting to get better. So I know Mr. Johnson, he would normally come to the home sometimes. He hosted a basketball camp. So a few of us went there sometimes. So normally I took them because he was a basketball coach and, you know, basketball was my love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really took them. So
go ahead.
Repeat the question again.
Go ahead.
So that's why I really took them, and we just stayed connected. I even went with him a few times during the Christmas, because they allow us to be released during the Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another good experience, you know, and just all around helping them around the gym and stuff like that. So
yeah, So was there any type of a struggle for you in terms of transitioning from that life, being a ward of the state, having the kind of protection that's provided to you by individuals like Kevin Johnson? Now you must have, you know, gotten to a point where you have to move on from those circumstances. How did you transition? How did you manage it?
It was kind of hard because it was hard in a sense because now I questioned myself and I was like, what now? You know, how am I going to move forward? Because I still don't know how to navigate certain situations, but just being an individual that always constantly seeking knowledge, you know, I'd always ask questions, no matter how stupid individual city may sound. So I just might ask questions and stuff like that. Like, for example, I didn't know how to work a phone when I first came out of Ramfley, but I asked questions, even though my parents then was laughing at me. They provided me the guidance. I didn't know how to open up a bank account. I asked. People gave me that guidance as to how to open up a bank account because I wasn't a citizen. I became a citizen at the age of 20 in the Bahamas.
Okay.
So I wasn't really able to open up a bank account until I was 20.
How was that experience? I'm living for that period, being a child of immigrants and not having, citizenship status.
It's kind of hard because you can't open up a bank account. You can't really get a job. And I'd like to thank Mr. Roberts of Roberts and Son Trucking because he knew I was I was in the process of getting my citizenship. Mm-hmm. And me and his grandson had went to high school together and I was telling him I need a job. Mm-hmm. I need to work. So my first job was actually bagging sand and bagging rock at Robinson Sun Trucking, right there on Prince Charles. Yes, sir. So in the hot sun. So
that's a pasta.
Yes, sir. Yes, so but it's actually up to date. It's actually my favorite job because it was so hard. Mm. You know, I like to put myself in situations where I'll be challenged. Mm. So normally we'd have to put up about 2 pallets of sand a day, you know, get some rock in there, some soil, you know. And when I finished that, I had to go to school. But that was a really fun job for me, even though it was in the hot sun and it was hard. I still loved it because it challenged me. I always like to put myself in situations where I'll be challenged and where I can better myself.
When was this?
This was when I was in the AA program.
Okay, so
this was around 2017, 2018.
Yeah. So you've left the security of the children's home. You have gone through this transition, halfway house, if you will. You're now grappling with the issues of dealing with real life, opening bank accounts, knowing how to work a phone and that type of a thing. Your education continues. How did that happen? How did you do in high school, and how did that transition move when you, I think you guess you went to UB, right?
Yes, I went to UB.
Talk to us about that.
Well, I did fairly decent in high school because sometimes I used to sometimes I used to cry in high school. My teachers some say I used to like talk a lot.
This is a no-lie zone, eh? So you guys just tell the truth.
So my teachers some say I used to like talk a lot.
Waste some time.
Okay. So, but I was able to, kudos to my counselor at the time. He was able to sign all of us up for the College of the Bahamas at the time. Mm-hmm. So going into the College of the Bahamas, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I know I like to talk. And I know I like to fight against injustice. Mm. So I wasn't really too sure. And I knew I liked crime. I knew I liked the psychology of crime as to why individuals want to commit crime. So I saw Associates of Law and Criminal Justice on the form. So that's what I went for.
Okay. We'll come to that.
Yes, sir.
You touch on some of the persons, Kevin Johnson, individuals who were at the studio. I mean, who are some of the persons who, you know, kind of help you shepherd to your process up to this point? You know, in UB. But there must have been other persons who turn up.
Yes, sir.
Because I suspect if you can't figure out how to use a phone or open a bank account, you couldn't do pretty much anything on your own. There must have been some other persons. Who are these people?
I'd normally say I'd lean on my friends. So I'd normally say the company, shout out to the company that being with Shay at the time, Delano, Sashe, and Kaylin and LeVar. Mm-hmm. So then they're good friends. I consider them family, so they would help me. Also the Charles Moss. So individuals like that. So like I say, I always like to ask questions. So if I don't know something, I know I could go to them and ask a question, or I could go to an adult that's currently in my life and ask a question. Like Miss Sanders.
Who's Miss Sanders?
Miss Sanders, she was actually my social worker when I was in the homes. She was one of the social workers.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Miss Sanders.
Miss Sanders is actually a blessing in disguise, because at one point I was actually renting an efficiency. Mm-hmm. And it gotten so hard for me that I was working and going to school at the same time. So it was getting hard and it's getting hectic. And I didn't know if I would be able to pay, to pay the rent. And she had actually came along and she said, your name came up for a place, and we're gonna assist you because we see that you're trying to stay on the right path. So that was actually a great help for me. So
you know, at this stage, you're 20.
No,
you're not 20 yet.
I'm 22. Okay. And
And you are working and you're putting yourself through school.
Actually someone's helping to pay to put me through school.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir.
So lots of people, but you're not talking about these people. And that's what we hear. Before you go, right?
Yes, sir.
I know this is your story.
Yes, sir.
But oftentimes, we ought to celebrate our story on the backs of the people who help us along the way. And so, like you said, this is a chance to give them their flowers.
Yes, sir.
It's a chance to show and to demonstrate those persons who are listening in that it doesn't matter how it look. It don't matter how isolated an individual might be.
Yes, sir.
There's a village. It may be a small village.
For sure.
It may be only four or five persons. It may be only one individual at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a semblance of a village which turns up, which enables us to move to the next level. So you are now in the good graces of the support of
Miss Sanders.
Miss Sanders.
Yes,
so Miss Sanders help you to move into this is a government assisted place.
No, well, basically, Miss Sanders and one of my mentors. Mm-hmm. He helped to foot the bill basically every month. So, and Miss Sanders. So mm-hmm. She came to me. She said, "So you're trying. So we're gonna assist you."
He's a lucky man.
Yes, sir.
what do you what do you accord to the luck? I mean, I know it's not luck, right? But why do you think persons were turning up at each stage to help you? Because clearly, without a mother, without a father,
mm-hmm.
Being a ward of the state, you need resources, yeah?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't have the resources. Your brother, as much as he tried to, he wasn't empowered to do for you what was needed. But why somebody didn't go and find somebody else out the road and help them? What do you think that was?
I'd say that's the universe, and the ancestors and the Most High looking out for me, because
why the universe was responding to you though?
I think because I try to stay humble. Mm-hmm. So and I realize when you stay humble, people are attracted to you and they want to help you out, and they see you trying to get somewhere, and they know you can't do it on your own, because all us are trying to get to the top, but we're not going to get there alone. Mm-hmm. We need people along the way that is going to help us, or that lucky break, mm-hmm. essentially, that's going to help us get to the top. So essentially, that's how we look at it. Mm-hmm. So why me? I normally try to stay humble, and people see that I'm trying to better myself. I'm always asking questions. So essentially, they want to help me, so.
So you whisper to the universe and the universe whisper back to you. that's how it is.
Just need a helping hand.
Yeah, you listen to the essentials, the reset. We are having a conversation with Mr. Hercule Estime, humble beginnings to infinite possibilities. And he's sharing his story. Started with tragedy in many regards. Loss of a mom, father deported, bad circumstance, abuse, being in children's home. But in all of that, he has been able to find the good side, find the upside, find the fact that there was love and there was care and there was always somebody who was turning up to help him to be a better person, to take the next step, to pay the rent, to motivate him to go to school, to help him sign up for school. And, you know, it's a story which I think begs understanding. That when you decide, regardless of your circumstance, when you decide to become better, the world turns up for you in one way, shape, or form. It may not be at the pace that you would desire, the world is going to turn up for you. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. If you want to join us, the numbers are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Our text line, 422-4796. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. Don't move. Come right back.
On the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Autumn seems to never end. The leaves are always brown. And summer seems to never tend to ever come around. Springtime's ever beginnings when true love is found. Winter's ever finishing. True love stands its ground. Now I hear no happy songs. Birds have all gone south. Bright green pastures drying up, and plenty turned to drought. Life is full of ups and downs. The carousels of love. Good times, bad times, smiles and frowns. Don't give up on me.
Don't give up on me. There are many times where we are going to find ourselves in circumstances where we experience others who are going through difficulties. And Irk, you would sit here as an individual today, as a testament, you know, don't give up on them. No matter how hard it looked, no matter how difficult it looked, don't give up on them. I think when I met him, he was way better than the other people who met him. And he's difficult, I can tell you that. He is difficult. But this is a young man that you can't give up on. He is positive. He's always striving. He's always seeking to better himself. And he listens. Well, at least he listens to me. I can't swear for anybody else, but he does listen to me. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Go ahead.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
It's a privilege to listen in to your program and also to support a young man in positivity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been paying attention from the very start of the program. And I want to endorse that good, a lot of good, a lot of love comes out even, not even, I won't even use the word even, comes out of homes, whether it's the children's hostel, whether it's the Ramsley home. So I want to put in a plug that there's a lot of love there. A lot of opportunities and so on. I want to underscore the revelation of the goodness of KJ and many PE coaches who endear themselves to children and students and follow them through life, see that they get scholarships and other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Estuma, I think the name is, sir.
Yes, sir, Estuma.
You did mention that sometimes there's a trust issue, and I can understand that. And then as a counterbalance to that, you also mentioned that you're a humble person.
Yes, sir.
And I want to salute you for that because it actually provides that equilibrium and give a little bit of a balance, because if when a person is, even though with good reason, distrustful, it can be an impediment.
Yes, sir.
But because of the little ingredient, the very good ingredient of humility, I'm happy that has helped to propel you, because as I said, even though with a person with good reason to distrust, others may not understand, and then we'll try to be mean to the person because the person is distrustful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that God has put it in you to also be humble. So I want to salute you and congratulate you. I love your choice of law.
Yes, sir.
And the focus on persons who, in one way or the other, may be facing injustice or hardship. I'm looking at in an international situation now. I'm looking at the suffering of the people in Gaza.
Yes, sir.
And I hope that when you finalize and finally become what we want to call the esteemed lawyer,
yes, sir,
you may even be on the bench of the International Court of Justice. So I'm looking way down the road.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it.
You go all that way.
Yes, sir.
And last but not least, I want to thank you for saluting your Haitian origin, so to speak, because of your parent.
Yes, sir.
And also embracing your Bohemian.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Birth and development and opportunities and citizenship and all that, even though it went through a process and it took a time.
Yes, sir.
So all in all, I want to say I'm glad that this male is doing something positive for himself and for the country. and giving thanks to the people who helped him along the way. I'm a father of four daughters and a grandfather of one grandson, 3 years old. But I like to jump for joy when men are doing well from primary school throughout Obloya.
Right.
So thank you, my good friend, Brother Edwards.
Yes, sir.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Even
sir.
Though we're not talking about economics and accounts this evening,
yeah,
I'm paying attention.
I'm leaving that for a time being. I think there are some bigger issues to be dealt with. Thank you so much for your contribution. And, you know, this is what having these conversations do, you know, individuals.
You're welcome. I know there are other listeners paying attention as well.
Yes, hopefully some of them will join in. So, Eric, you've now been given this great foundation. Persons have poured into you, spend their money on you.
Yes, sir.
You know, preach to you. And I know, just from observing you today.
Yes, sir.
Cry a little bit, blood, sweat, and tears over you.
Yes, sir.
So now you're a big man. You're in the AA program. You're heading someplace, you know. So what are you doing with your life? What are your big goals at that point in time? What is it that you're thinking about? Are you only going to school? Are you trying to work? Are you trying to dabble in business? What is it that Ercute is doing at this time?
Well, when I was inside the bachelor's program, mm-hmm. I had started to get into e-commerce.
Mm.
It's drop shipping. So I started the first business. It wasn't too successful. So I didn't know how to run Facebook ads at the time. So because you have to run Facebook ads in order to get the product out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create like videos, you know, have proper photos.
What happened to these five friends you have? what happened to Delano? What happened to LeVar? Where were they?
Well, I tell them about it, but they wasn't too interested in it. So
they didn't believe that you was running a real business, right?
I mean, you know, sometimes fans is better off what you're doing. So that's your own interest.
Yes.
It would be bad of me as a friend to chastise them for not taking interest in my interest.
Mm.
You know, we all have our own path in life with regards to what we want to do. So I didn't really take offense to it with regards to that. So. Mm. But I did tell them about it, though. So try to explain it to them and break it down.
Still,
I don't think I did a pretty good job, though.
Still time to chastise them, isn't it?
That's true.
But, you know, where did that take you? What were some of the lessons you learned out of that period of time? Working, trying to flex your entrepreneurial skills, going to school. You know, there must have been some struggle. There must have been maybe some heartaches, some disappointments. What is it that you're learning at this stage?
Well, what I've learned is that you need proper planning. Mm-hmm. If you don't have proper planning, it isn't going to succeed because you have to knock off each step.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went into e-commerce because I was trying to make a little extra money and I didn't really have a plan. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know how to execute the next step. So essentially it basically crashed and burned. And I tried it a second time. I had a better plan how to run Facebook ads because now I was watching videos on how to run it. So, you know, I had the proper photos there, you know, mm-hmm. I was running Facebook ads. I knew how to set up the Shopify shop. So I did that. And, you know, just taking it step by step, but it's still crash and burn.
Still crash.
So what I've learned is, you know, every failure you could learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second time, I ran out of money. So I was doing it, and I ran out of money. So what I realize now is that you need proper planning, essentially.
And lots of money.
you just have to know how to manage your money. I wouldn't say a lot of money.
Yeah.
You just have to know how to manage your money.
So you were making money and spending it.
Well, I only had one sale of the two stores that I created.
Mm-hmm.
I only had one sale. It was for $16. I remember it was four socks, baby socks. Two of them were baby stores,
mm-hmm.
and PayPal because Shopify Pay. With Shopify Pay, you will be able to get the money directly on your bank account. But here in the Bahamas, we don't have Shopify Pay. We have to go through PayPal. And PayPal hold the money. I never saw the money enter my bank account. But I saw the money on the PayPal app, though.
Mm.
So, and I was saying, why PayPal don't want to give me my money?
So, you learning, you're growing, you progressing through school, you now So you did the AA program?
Yes, sir.
And then you do your, you're into your bachelor's now. You're doing your LLB?
Yes, sir, bachelor's.
How was that? How was that experience?
It was kind of rough.
Was it rough or not?
It was rough, but I had a solid supporting system. That being my friends, we normally refer to as
same friends.
Yeah, same friends. We know.
No wonder they didn't want to pay attention to your business. But anyway, go ahead.
We normally refer to ourselves as Scooby Co. or the company. So right. We were the youngest inside the class. So I remember the exact day that we actually band up together. It was for the moot in one of our classes in the LLB program. And nobody wanted to actually team up with the younger ones because we were the younger ones inside the group. Everybody else was much older than us.
Right.
So nobody wanted to team up with us. And then I remember I got to throw some shit at them because they didn't want me. So nobody wanted me inside the class. But they still end up taking me.
So your friends didn't want you either.
That's me. Yeah. I gotta call them out on that. But they took me in, you know. Mm. But just being with them, just seeing like how they operate, you know, made me want to be better.
You realize I know these people, right?
Yeah, I mean you
realize I know these
people. Yeah, I know you know them, so, but I mean so from the LLB program, just being around them, you know.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just wanting to be better. For example, Killing is very well organized. Sometimes right. I could be disorganized. Mm. And I go to Killing, you know, and I know I could get something because I know he's organized, you know, and I try to model after him. Mm. Sasha, she's very intelligent. I have to give her that. Mm. You know, sometimes I'd look at my paper, I'd read my paper, and then I'd read her paper. I read her paper one time, and I was like, I didn't think of it that way.
Right.
You know, she's so intelligent, you know, just trying to take things from them. What I get put inside my work or how I get improve myself.
Let me tell you this, and this is, I think this is top shelf advice.
Yes, sir.
You need to have at least one friend who will challenge your disorganization. At least one friend who challenge your disorganization, because like me, I'm totally disorganized. I work in chaos.
Yeah.
Don't always benefit you at the end of the day.
No.
Come out good at the end, but it's a lot to go to. But you need that friend. You need that friend who's going to challenge you all. So you have this group of individuals who you're effectively growing up with in school. You know? Mm-hmm. You're young people. You're making your way through the AA program. You're making your way now to the bachelor's program, and you're progressing. You're now starting to think about possibilities. What are the things in your quiet moment that you're dreaming about? The caller earlier say, you know, he puts you on the bench of the CCJ.
Yes, sir.
Caribbean Court of Appeal, right? But in your space, in your quiet time, in the moments when there's nobody around you, there's no distraction. What are the things which Hercule Estime is dreaming of, at least at that time?
Well, I was just dreaming about how I could be the best lawyer I could be, because EDLS was the next step, and then after that, becoming a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I was just dreaming about what I'll be able to do once I get into the legal field, mm-hmm. and what area of law I want to get in, because I'm still unsure, but I know I love human rights and speaking out against the injustice for individuals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I normally would just, you know, sit down inside my room and I would just vision myself speaking to individuals, you know, about these injustices and, you know, bringing awareness about it so that they can, you know, be aware of it, so that they can know how to navigate and how to be able to help these individuals that are facing these injustices.
Why are you so passionate about that?
I don't know. I can't really say why I'm so passionate about it, but I know when I see wrong, it's just something inside me.
I've nothing to do with your uncle being
I know once I see wrong, I just have to. That's just me. That's just the type of person I is. I feel like so much people don't pay attention to some of these injustices in the world, you know. Sometimes individuals will be like, oh, need to worry about them because that's not happening to me. That's not affecting my family. Mm-hmm. So, and you have very few people that actually, you know, is doing something and is speaking out and trying to bring awareness to the situations that these people are in. So why, so the question to me was, why must you know, I be one of these people that turn a blind eye to somebody else suffering when so much people have helped me along the way through my suffering. So why, you know, and in turn, to give back to humanity. That's my way of giving back to humanity and helping individuals who are unable to help themselves. So, because people have helped me along the way. So that's my way of essentially giving back.
Right. You see yourself as a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And you see yourself as an individual who is very concerned about social justice, racial justice.
Yes, sir.
Individuals who may be discriminated against. Mm-hmm. Individuals who society doesn't give necessarily a heave and shake at, right?
They, yes, sir.
They have the ability. They may have made mistakes, yes,
mm-hmm.
but not sufficient care and diligence goes into trying to help them to rehabilitate, trying to help them to grow.
Yes,
so you see yourself being able to step in that space and bring some value.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So how is it that you currently give back in this moment? Because, you know, it's one thing to say, one thing to say, hey, you know, when I become a big shot lawyer and I'm driving the big fancy car, I will give back. But at every stage of your life,
yes, sir,
having gone through circumstances, you have accrued value. Yeah. How do you give back in this at this point?
I have to chastise myself on that because I feel like it'd be better in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a part of various organizations, that being Club 1600,
mm-hmm.
and that being Kappa Alpha Psi,
mm-hmm.
Fraternity Incorporated. So anytime we'd have, you know, community service events, or anytime they'll ask me to come and give a speech or to, you know, talk to the youth, you know, I'm always up for the opportunity mm-hmm. when granted it. So I'll take it.
Have you gone back to any of these homes and spoke to them?
Yes. Just recently, a couple months ago, they were having, forget what's the program that Toastmasters.
They were having a program.
Youth leadership program. That's okay. Correct. They normally do it all over the country in schools and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
I was asked to come to. I went to C.H. Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Toastmasters had asked me to come there and share my story. I actually gave my icebreaker speech.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave my icebreaker speech to the end of some of the at-risk youths at CH Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
And I also went back to the Ramfley and I gave my icebreaker speech there as well. So just telling them about, you know, my life story.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically the icebreaker speech and Toastmasters is essentially a life story.
Yeah. What did that feel like? You going back there, you speaking to the individuals, knowing that you were there at some point, you may have had that experienced person's coming and speaking with you. You know, what type of emotion, what type of energy did you feel in that moment?
It felt good to give back to the youth, to the ones coming up behind me, to show them that, you know, no matter what life throws at you, just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to help you along the way. Just keep trotting forward, you know, no matter what. So it was a good experience, and I was happy that the kids were able to grasp the message that I was giving to them when I went there and gave my icebreaker at Ranfley.
And your essential message is what?
Just keep going. Just be determined. Just be determined.
Be determined.
Be determined. Keep going. No matter what life throws at you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are going to be down days. There are going to be days when you question your very existence and as to if you're on the right path,
mm-hmm.
you know? So just keep going. I normally tell my brother, just be like a woodpecker. So it's almost like you picking at a tree or you picking at a concrete wall. Eventually that tree is going to fall no matter how long it takes,
mm-hmm.
or eventually that wall is going to fall no matter how long it takes. So just keep picking at that tree, keep picking at the wall, and eventually it's going to fall. And you're going to see wonderful things happen in your life.
For Hercule Estime, was there moments when you felt despair, when you felt like it's not possible to move forward, when you felt like giving up?
All the time. You know, sometimes I just lay in my room and just be depressed, you know.
Man, say it. Cry.
Just be depressed. No, not normally cry. Just question.
Well, you're scared, so you
just
cry.
Just question certain. No, I'm scared. Just question certain things because, you know, like for example, sometimes Christmas time, I'd see everybody with their families. You know, that's something I'd question. Mm-hmm. You know, why me? You know, I was telling a friend. You know, most times during Christmas, you know, some people may not say it's a big deal, but it's a very big deal, you know, just being around family in that family environment.
Right.
So sometimes I would be down with regards to, you know, just not being able to be around family during Christmas time, you know, just being by myself.
Yeah.
But I was able to go to West Virginia, Christmas gone. Mm-hmm. Some people used to visit when I was in the Ranfley home. We stayed connected, so they came down last year, August, and they was telling me, so, oh, you're coming to visit. I don't have no money. so I finally decided to go in December. And just the love that I experienced and just that environment, just being able to sit down and pass the macaroni or pass the turkey. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate that, you know, just the sense what family is all about. You know, sitting down during Christmas time, you know, opening up presents. You know, we did get a lot of presents in Ranfley, but I mean, like, sitting down, you know, just to experience it, you know.
In a family setting.
Yeah, in a family setting. These are
things which...
People might think it's minor, but...
Many of us take for granted.
Yeah.
It's usually a case of, you know, cow have tail, right? And the cow don't appreciate the tail. You cut the tail off, and cow now in problems.
Yes,
so when you don't have a thing, it takes on... greater significance, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so you not having this experience on a continuous basis as a young person, it creates a void in your life.
Yeah.
And still something you kind of find yourself reaching for.
Yeah, and it also creates motivation too as well.
Mm.
Because I think that's the sense of one, that's one of the key pillars in me being determined and being motivated, because I don't have these things, you know. Other people have these things, you know. When they have kids in the future, I want to be able to provide these things for them because I never had it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my motivations. It actually motivates me, even though what I went through in life, it motivates me just to keep going. So that's the source. That's really the source of my some of the sources of my motivation.
So you're basically taking your lemons and making lemonade.
Yes,
sir. And that's really kind of the way to go. Oftentimes, and you know, this has been my experience. I mean, I could tell you interesting stories that you may not readily believe. But at some point in time, you have to, especially when you become a man, right? Mm-hmm. And you are a man. When you become a man, you have to take those stories and you have to turn them on their head, and you have to find the basis on which to use them as stepping stone.
Yes, sir.
They're not easy.
No.
It's not easy. Persons sometimes will, you know, even chastise you, you know, say you have to let go, you have to not do this. But there is a level of almost trauma in that, and you have to come to grips with that void. How you fill that is going to be important, because if it's not filled in a way which is healthy,
uh-huh.
If it's not filled in a way which is not dependent on something or some substance or doing nonsense, right? You could eventually harm yourself. And so, yes, it's good to see you have the opportunity to, you know, go experience it. Go to, what is it, Virginia?
Yeah,
and, to
West Virginia.
West Virginia to experience that. And so, you know, I really like what you said. You know, these are issues that I face. But I'm using them as a means of motivation.
Yeah, motivation.
And that motivation helps to propel you to...
Yeah, for sure.
Greatness.
Something extraordinary, yes, sir.
Yeah, and your greatness is going to come.
Yes, sir.
Your greatness is going to come. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation here with Ercude Estime, a young man who, as I said at the beginning, a young warrior. There's absolutely no way you could disagree with me having listened to the story, that this young man is not a warrior, a man who is willing to fight and die and get up fighting again. And the purpose of the conversation is to inspire others, to let persons understand that it is possible. It is possible for you, regardless of where you start, regardless of your circumstances, to be more, to have more, and most importantly, to become more. Because only when you become do you get to the point of fulfillment. And if you listen very carefully to his story, it's about the people. It's about the team. It's about the company. Scooby-Doo, you call them. It's about the individuals who you surround yourself with. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be smooth. But you have to work through it.
Yes, sir.
And in working through that, there is growth.
Yes, sir.
You listen to the essentials. Come right back. Don't move.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not settling. So many did before me. I'm not settling, yeah. Oh, I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Not going to live my life like the rest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Absolutely no opinion, no contest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Not going to live my life like the rest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Absolutely no opinion, no contest. So many people want the status quo. Why they settle, I don't know. So many options, so many choices, but so many voices who want you to believe that you can't achieve, but you're gonna make it if you don't
settled, yeah. I'm not settled.
No. Absolutely, absolutely not. In life, you just absolutely can't settle. You have to be willing to hear no and keep working for yes. You have to be willing to fail, to fall, to crash and burn, as you said, in terms of the business, and be willing to get up, dust yourself off, and move on, because it's not so much about how many times you fall. It's the willingness to rise and the effort in rising. So when you look around the world, and you know we live in a very small village these days.
So,
you know, where is it that you draw inspiration from? Obviously, in your early life, KJ and all of these other persons were there being inspiration. But you know, you're now a man, and you may have changed your views. I know you're a bit of a Pan-Africanist.
Yes, sir.
You know, where do you draw this inspiration, and why Pan-Africanism?
For me, Pan-Africanism, because, you know, growing up, like I said, I'm of Haitian parents, you know. You know, growing up, I've seen the divide between Haitian and Bahamian people, and Haitian and Bahamian people, and I don't like it. And not even just here, you know. Just the Caribbean on the whole. Mm-hmm. Just that divide that we have within the Caribbean. You know, people fighting amongst themselves because they Jamaican or they Trinidadian. And I don't like it. I feel like as black people, we need to stick together. You know, one of the tools of colonialism and neocolonialism is divide and rule. Mm-hmm. And we must always remember that. So in our quest for total emancipation, the only way we get there if we stick together. So for me, my start in Pan-Africanism, or my interest in it, I would say, drew from Malcolm X. You know, just listening to his speeches. His first speech that I actually listened to was The Ballad and the Bullet. Mm. It was basically, essentially spoke to the African-American people with regards to the vote. I think the Civil Rights Bill was about to come out, and he was ensuring them to, you know, utilize their votes properly. And the next one was essentially the message to the grassroots. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite speech from Malcolm X, you know. It has a Pan-African root within it, you know. Just essentially calling for the unification of black people. The unification of black people. And he actually provided evidence in which, you know, black people around the world were able to unite, you know, that being the Mau Mau fighters inside Kenya and helping with the liberation of other African countries, you know. So I just liked him because he was so fierce, and the way he standed and commanded the audience, and he just spoke the truth, in my opinion. And, you know, just speaking of Malcolm, you know, growing up, and from what I've learned, growing up learning about him, you know, people would always associate him with hate. I say, Malcolm is hateful, he's a racist. Mm-hmm. And I always question why. Because the things that I heard him say, I'm like, he's not encouraging hate. Mm-hmm. You know, one of his quotes that I have here, he said, I believe in human beings and that all human beings should be respected as such, regardless of their color. You know, and that for me, that really stuck with me. And then when I've just recently finished his book, and what was so chilling about his book was that in the end, like he said, he knew he was going to die a violent death, and he knew that they was going to associate him with hate. Mm-hmm. So, and I think he should be celebrated all over the world.
I think so too.
Yeah, he was such a powerful individual, you know. He spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't compromise for nobody, no one. He wouldn't be bied, you know, yes. And I respect that.
And, you know, if you, history requires broad study. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X was generally rejected by Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
But in the end, Martin Luther King himself says, I should have listened a little bit more to him.
Yeah, for sure.
He was rejected by Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali says, maybe I should have spent more, pay more attention to Malcolm X. You know, Malcolm X was obviously a very divisive personality, especially given the time and the era within which. So he had some challenges.
His reaction to his situation and his rhetoric was as a result of his life. Because when you read the book, you would understand that his father was a part of Marcus Garvey organization, the UNIA. And he was killed by the Klan. After that, it was eight of them. He had seven other siblings.
That's a little.
And they were divided as a result of the state. The state intervened. His mother was sent to asylum as a result. And he went to a reform school. When he was in that reform school, they would openly call him the N-word. So his reaction to white people was a result of the experiences in his life early on. So the Nation of Islam was kind of like that outlet, was that outlet for him to express how he feel and to, you know, just give his views.
And a rebirth.
Certainly a rebirth as well, because,
you know, he went from...
He was in the streets of Harlem hustling.
He went from Red to Malcolm X.
Yeah, Red to Malcolm X.
Yes. So, you know, when you study the lives of these individuals, you get to understand better where they're coming from. But, you know, anybody else? Who else do you look to?
So I'm a huge basketball fan, as I mentioned.
Yes.
So Kobe Bryant.
Not Michael Jordan.
Okay. For me, Kobe Bryant is the greatest basketball player to ever lace him up. I'll take the Michael Jordan debate, but I won't take the LeBron debate. I just want to set that straight.
Okay.
So just the way he went about his preparation for the game, his love for the game. Because when you look at Kobe Bryant, he wasn't the fastest. He didn't have the biggest hands, and he didn't jump the highest.
Right.
But you knew that he was going to outwork all these other individuals.
Yeah.
You know, I so love the Mamba mentality. It says the Mamba mentality basically entails the constant quest to get better each and every day, or to be better than the day you were before. So I so love that, because now I have his jersey hanging up inside my room and I look at it every day, you know, just a reminder of the way he went about his days, you know, just trying to be better than the day before. So, and I appreciate that about him, you know. Could have been hurt, you know. He could have been sick. You know, he would show up every day and try to give his all. And so funny, at his last game, he was so tired. I could have seen it, like, one of the timeouts. Like, he was breathing so hard, you know, sweat just dripping off him, you know. And he was able, you know, his shots were all arm, you know. For a basketball player, you want to get some legs in your shot. And you could see, like, he wasn't even getting off the ground, but he was able to will himself. He was able to will himself to make these shots. And to push the Lakers to win in his final game in his career and drop 60 points.
Yeah.
Even though some people say he was on, like, 50-something shots.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Kobe Bryant is a student of the game.
Yeah, student.
A very astute student of the game. And he saw that game that Michael Jordan played sick, and he just wanted to replicate it.
Yeah.
I ain't getting into more discussion.
Yeah.
But some other individuals, Patrice Lumumba, what attracts you to him? In some spaces, you know, some people don't like that name.
I mean, they don't have to like it, but I mean, I like it, so that's all that matters.
Why?
Because he's a representation of he's a representation of going against the norm, going against the colonizers. Because I remember so vividly, it was the 30th of June, 1960, at their independence, they had an independence. How could I put it? It was for Belgium to hand over the power to the individuals in the Congo. And Patrice wasn't scheduled to speak. So it was supposed to be a cordial environment, event, you know, because delegates from the Belgium and delegates from the Congo was there. And Patrice went up there and he condemned the colonizers. he didn't go up there and compromise. He condemned them. He told them that what you guys are doing are wrong, and I will not stand for it. And I can appreciate that because because individuals like them, you know they're not going to compromise, and you know that they're going to fight for your rights, mm-hmm. and you know that no amount of money will be able to buy them. They're never going to sell you out to. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So you love persons who kind of walk the walk,
yeah.
walk the talk,
yeah.
operate on a level of integrity.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Bob Marley.
Oh. Bob Marley, I think he's another one that, you know, kind of like catapulted me into Pan-Africanism. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going through such a tough time in the LLB. And I remember I had my next job where I worked at International Security Alliance at Harbor Bay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mr. Tommy. It was a good job.
Yeah, tell him send the money for the ad. But
so we normally when I would be standing up, because it would be so boring, I would normally try to engage people in conversation. And it was this fella, I think his name was Daniel, and he had, you know, long curly hair, and he was telling me about Bob Marley. And, you know, I always know about Bob Marley. I know the hits, so I listened to him, but I never really listened to him. Mm-hmm. He told me, say, go and listen to the Exodus album. You know, and I actually went and listened to the Exodus album. And for me, when listening to Bob Marley, it's like that spiritual connection, because I get to calm down and I get to relax, and all the thoughts that are bouncing around in my head, you know, they get to, you know, just calm my nerves. But I'd like to say Exodus saved me, because I was in a rough period in my life. Mm. So just listening to the Exodus album every day kind of saved me, you know, showed me that, you know, every little thing it's gonna be all right, you know? But I like to say my favorite album is the Survival album, mm-hmm. because it's such a strong Pan-African album, because you have songs like Top Ranking, you have songs like Zimbabwe, you know, that song actually, when the Zimbabweans were...
Every man have a right,
mm-hmm.
to determine his own destiny.
When they were for their fight for independence, mm-hmm. they would normally blast that song.
Right.
So, Africa Unite, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like Africa Unite, because we're moving right out of Babylon. So, that's another one of my favorite. And then you get the Babylon System. Mm-hmm. So, it's my favorite album because it's rooted in Pan-Africanism. So, normally I would listen to it, you know, just to like stay on course and, you know, to like stay, to remind myself what I actually want to be engaged in. So, and just to educate myself.
All right. So, you know, the way these shows always go, we have a lot to talk about, but the time usually just run out. So
yes, sir.
We're at a stage right now where we just want to know, you know, what is in store for IRQ. You have told us your story. You have demonstrated to us that you have the will, the perseverance, the resilience to be what you want to be. You are ambitious. You know, you're a Pan-Africanist, and you are going you're going to be at some point in time misunderstood, but you know, you're into justice and goodwill and integrity.
Yes, sir.
And so those are great counterbalance. But what's in store for IRQD from here on in?
I just finished my exams at EDLS. Mm-hmm. So on July the 8th, the results come out. So I have great confidence than last year that I did, and that I passed. So hopefully when the results come out, you know, I'm very happy with the results. So after that, you know, the next process of that is applying, petitioning the court to officially become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And graduation is in September, and then you get called to the bar in October. So hopefully I'd like to, you know, I'm in the process of getting into law. So lawyer, I'd also like to get into business. So get into real estate, get a crack at that e-commerce again, because I don't like I had ended the two times. So
still smarting from that.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, the third time is a charm. So I'd like to get into some business, to some real estate, you know, owning a company of my own, you know, yeah. Whatever it is, you know, I'm always open and always trying to learn about, you know, new business ventures that I could go into. So
yeah.
Invest in even so.
The young man who is listening to you from Bain Town, from Kemp Road, from down in Carmichael, from Bacardi Road, young man who may be sitting in one of these unregulated communities, which you had a little bit of an experience with, a young man who, a young woman for that matter, who may be listening to you from one of these children's home if they have that facility, you know, what is it that you would like to leave with them? What would you say to them, having, you know, gone through not just the experience of, you know, kind of being where they were, but now seeing the greater possibilities of life? What would you leave with them?
You don't have to be a product of your environment. And I say that because so much times I've heard that, oh, because my father and my brothers were involved inside this kind of activity, or, you know, I had no choice but to get into this kind of activity, or because of my friends. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. Just you seek out the people. And like I say, your intuition is going to let you know that this person is the right person that's going to be able to help you. Mm-hmm. So just seek out the people. You know the friends that are not into the good stuff, that are into mischief. Mm-hmm. And you know the friends that are going to help you. If someone is smarter than you inside the class, you know, ask them how to do this. I know sometimes people may laugh at you, but just ask them. You never know if they might be able to help you. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I'm not really good at sometimes at writing and expressing myself, but just to be able to look at Sashay's work, I'm able to see how I could better my writing. So seek out individuals that are going to help you, and surround yourself with individuals that are going to push you, no matter what. They're going to tell you the raw truth, no matter how bad it sounds. So you don't have to become a product of your environment.
Well, you know,
and I know it's easier said than done, but
yeah.
But like I say, you don't have to become a product of your environment. Just keep it inside the back of your head. Just have that hunger.
Wanting to be better.
Seek out knowledge. Mm-hmm. Seek out individuals you feel as if are better than you and that can help you. And the opportunities and the direction that you can go in life is endless.
Yeah. And that's the conversation we're having. Humble beginnings, infinite possibilities.
Yes, sir.
Because now, regardless of where you started from, you're on the threshold of becoming a lawyer.
Yes, sir.
And from that stepping stone, because you ain't reached nowhere yet.
No, sir.
It's just a stepping stone. But the possibilities are great.
Yes, sir.
And certainly the four-year-old who lost a mom who had a father deported may have not seen this far down the road. The possibilities of being in abusive family relationship, you know, being laughed at school, maybe you couldn't see today. You couldn't see beyond that. But now, having gone through those experiences, having surrounded yourself with people, having worked through some of the pain, the possibilities become endless.
Yes, sir.
And the fact that you are sitting here sharing that story, having the courage and the willingness to share that story, I think speaks volumes about you. And it is our hope, it is our wish that somebody somewhere out there is inspired by what you have to say. So I give you the last word.
Just want to tell you all, you know, anything in life, you know, just keep pushing. You know, life is going to throw you trials and tribulation, you know, curveballs. You know, just keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, I always like to look at life as a boxing match. You know, sometimes life, you know, it's going to knock you down, but just keep getting up.
Yes.
Keep getting up, you know.
Getting up.
Every year is a new round.
Keep getting up and keep fighting. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Hercule Estime was our guest this evening, and he shared a lot. And I think the hope is that you would have listened and you would have been inspired. We always like to end our show by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. Hercule Estime has obviously not fall victim to that. The only thing which is left to say is, be good, walk good, one love, and Ubuntu. Good night.
They say the sun and I shine for all, but in some people's world, you never shine at all.
These roads of flames are catching a fire. no, 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 no. Baby, tell me where you gone, gone, gone. I've been feeling for your love so long. We can praise God in the moonlight. Baby, if you with me, better do right. And I've been gone too long. And I'm hoping that you sing my song, my song. I've been on this road for way too long. Catching a fire. Showed you I loved you, you called me a liar. Give God the thanks and praises. I've been on my own, on, on. But we ain't never left alone.